Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with the stars, creators, and industry leaders on Broadway and beyond. I'm your host, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the actors Philippa Sue and Jen Colella. Sue, whose TV work includes Dope Sick and the upcoming Shining Girls, created the role of Eliza in Hamilton, and Colella created the role of Captain Beverly Bass in Come From Away, two performances that we all had a chance to see or see again during the pandemic, with Sue in Hamilton streaming on Disney Plus and Colella in Come From Away on Apple TV Plus. Now, the two are appearing together in a new off-Broadway musical at the Public Theater called Suffs. Written by and starring Shayna Taub, Suffs follows the fight for women's suffrage in the early 20th century, and the actors play two important suffragists. Sue stars as the labor lawyer and bon vivant Inez Milholland, and Colella plays Carrie Chapman Catt, a veteran leader of the movement. These two co-stars are both in the virtual studio with me to talk acting history, streaming musicals, and onstage mishaps.
Hey, Philippa and Jen, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. My
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you for having us with you.
Yeah. So for listeners who don't know much about Suffs, other than that it's about the suffragist movement, how do you describe what the show is and what your role is in it? Philippa, let's start with you.
Sure. Well, I play a suffragist named Inez Milholland, who is probably best known for leading the suffrage parade that happened in 1913. It was the first women's march and the first march in Washington. And she sat on a white horse named Grey Dawn and led the march down Pennsylvania Avenue. And I think to sum up the story, it's essentially, at its core, the story of the suffragist movement and the getting the 19th Amendment passed through the eyes of Alice Paul and her comrades and her fellow suffragists that are also fighting for the vote at the same time.
Yeah. And that was one thing that I learned in the show the other night, is that no one had marched. There had been no protest marches in Washington before that one. That was,
Isn't that amazing?
A surprise to me. Yeah. It seems late for that to have happened. But Jen, tell us about your role.
I play Carrie Chapman Catt. She was the leader of the National American Woman's Suffrage Association, NASA, for over 30 years. She was Susan B. Anthony's protege and successor. And she represents the old guard in our particular production, meaning her way of working towards getting the 19th Amendment passed is through gentility and grace and trying to approach the men like suffrage isn't anything to be afraid of. And then Alice Paul and her team comes in and they kind of shake up the system that my character has had in place for many, many decades.
Yeah. And how and when did each of you get involved in the project?
I've been involved for 6 years. I was at the very first reading of it.
Well, playing the same role.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about you, Philippa?
I got involved a little bit later. I was I remember it was like a reading of Act One. I think we hadn't quite gotten to Act Two yet. And that was, I want to say, in 2018.
And didn't you play Alice Paul in that one?
Yes, I did. I started out playing Alice Paul and then eventually started playing Inez Mulholland. And yeah, I mean, it's been quite a journey seeing it, you know, and for you, Jen, seeing it from the very, very beginning. But, you know, I just feel so lucky that I get to be in rooms where I get to see these beautiful ideas, you know, start from a seed and germinate into a whole entire living, thriving organism. It's just really thrilling.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that experience has been like, seeing, like, how has the story shifted? Because it is such a sort of big, sprawling story. There are a lot of characters. How has the show focused as the years have gone on?
It's changed a lot. It's changing. It changed just a second ago. We're in rehearsals right now and in previews. So changes have been constant throughout the entire process. I'd say the biggest change has come with the racial reckoning that the entire world is having right now. And Shayna going back and making sure that diverse voices are more prominent within the show. I think those are the major changes that have happened, and they're good ones.
Would you agree, Philippa? Is that what you've noticed?
Yeah, and just to, I guess the only thing I would add to that, how exciting it is to be in a room where we get to come together and tackle those issues in our storytelling, but also at the same time, the public theater, this particular rehearsal room has done such a beautiful job at trying to embrace the cultural transformation that is happening in our world. And, you know, we're holding it with multiple things at the same time, holding multiple things together. One is our ideals and what we hope that this process and this story and this world can be. And also at the same time, our own internalized biases that we carry with us, our privileges. And how do we progress? How do we tell a story? How do we come together and seek the change that we want to see in the world and acknowledge all of those things coming into play at the same time?
Yeah. And you just recently started a preview performance. It's pretty recently. What have you learned from the audience reaction to the show?
So many things.
Oh my gosh. Everything.
Everything.
On a base level, it's just people are so thrilled to be in a room again, seeing theater. It's just really powerful. There's still some getting used to. I don't know how you feel, Jen, but I look out and I expect to see, you know, all these faces, and I'm seeing a lot of masks, mm-hmm. but I mm-hmm. am seeing a lot of bright, you know, engaged eyes behind those masks, and you can feel it. You can feel the love in the room. You can feel the energy coming back to you. And you just learn a lot in this part of the process where you're working on something that's maybe changed recently. You're trying to see how an acting moment is going to land. You know, and it's nice to have that feedback.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference, absolutely, to hear laughter, to hear sighs, to hear applause in places where we weren't expecting it. And then it's also quite beautiful and humbling and very valuable when we're like, ba-dum-bah, and they're like, yeah, sure. And you're like, oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right. Right. We thought it was amazing, but maybe
tamp that down a bit. Yes, I'm going to take a look at that.
Yeah. Have there been any onstage mishaps yet? As you're putting the show together with all the tech and everything?
You should ask, have there not been any mishaps? Yes, I mean, here's the beauty of making a musical. There's so many moving parts. Mm-hmm. And I say that figuratively and literally. Mm-hmm. The stage is moving underneath us sometimes.
Yeah.
And we're wearing skirts, we're wearing heels, we're wearing corsets. There's props, there's, you know, lights. Like, it's just so many elements that are coming together all at once. And that's honestly what is so thrilling, is that, you know, everybody's got to be on their A game in order to make it work. So I have to acknowledge our backstage crew. We just have this amazing stage management team and backstage crew that are just working just as hard, if not harder than we are, to make all of these things happen. And then, you know, every once in a while, you might trip on a step, or, you know, you might miss, there's might be something missing that you need that you have to carry on stage with you. But that's what the preview process is for, is to learn all of that stuff. I think it's actually interesting because I didn't realize this until getting into this process, but a lot of people actually don't understand what previews are. And I just find it fascinating because I think there's this expectation that, like, we're open. Like, once the show's open and we're selling tickets, like, it's done. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole, for us, I mean, sometimes it's 2 weeks, but sometimes for us, like, it's a month of previews before we open, before the show freezes, where we're changing things constantly, we're re-teching things. And the show that people saw last night is not the show that they're seeing tonight. And that's really thrilling.
It's also quite vulnerable to have a world premiere musical on its feet for the very first time in New York City. I understand why you would take a show out of town. To be out of town, you're not necessarily going to have, like, Lin-Manuel came the other night, Leonardo DiCaprio came to, like, our fourth preview. All of these people are descending on our rehearsal process, in essence. And so it's quite vulnerable and thrilling. You're right, Pippa. It really is.
What do you, with this project that you have both been involved in for several years now, what do you feel is particularly resonant about the show right now when it's finally landing?
I think what's particularly resonant is that it's exciting to hear about these women we didn't hear about, and to know, wow, women have been kicking ass for a very long time, and to also know there's still work to be done, that we haven't quite gained the equality that we have been seeking for all these many decades, and that we are literally passing the torch on to the younger generation to continue that fight so that we can continue to strive to be equals.
Walking into the public the other night, I feel like Suf's, at least as you're going into it without seeing it yet, it has some sort of superficial similarities to Hamilton. Like, it's at the public in the same theater, and it's about, you know, a very important moment in American history. And there's a central character who can't stop working and is encouraged by a character played by you, Philippa, you know, to maybe take a breath sometime. But all those, like, superficial things aside, do you feel like those two projects, Hamilton and Suf's, are in any way similar? And in what ways is it doing something completely different, do you think?
Some people are calling it Hermilton, which I like.
Oh my God. I haven't heard that
yet. Isn't
that
awesome?
I love that.
Isn't that incredible?
I see what you're saying, Gordon, about the similarities. But I will also add that I think you make a point that it both shows expertly take the musical theater, the form of musical theater, and play with it and make it their own. And truly, you know, you have two writers who are quite genius in how they approach not only the work and the technicality of it, but how open they are with their hearts and their souls in the work. And so, you know, of course you're going to see similarities because you have two writers who are really taking everything that they know and love about this art form and bringing it to their work. And I think that shines through in both cases. And yes, there's American history there. Yes, you know, I'm there. But I think it just goes to show you that, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're really interested in hearing and seeing stories where we see ourselves in it. And there's a part of us, yeah, as audience members, that have to contribute to that experience in order for it all to work.
And how do you describe the musical style to folks who haven't seen it yet?
Oh man, it ranges from Tin Pan Alley to vaudeville to gospel to pop to what Shana describes as the music they were working to create to build this movement. It's unlike anything else you've ever seen, and that's to also answer your last question, Gordon, what makes it unlike anything else? It has so many different styles that are interwoven and also seem to fit very cohesively. The cool thing about what Shane is doing is that some of her hooks feel brand new and exciting, and also like something that's been in your soul for a long time. And she does it really brilliantly.
Yeah, there's a lot of great anthems, that's for sure. Yeah.
You've both played real people in the past, you know, Eliza Schuyler and Beverly Bass for each of you. How do you approach honoring a person who existed, playing a person who existed and honoring their truth, and then also creating your own character that lives in you? How do you balance that?
Lee Silverman, the director, and Shana Taub, the writer and composer, have been really wonderful about telling us to do our own research and to bring ourselves into whomever we have thought the character to be and match that with what's on paper. And so I think that's what everybody's doing. It's been super fun to learn about these women and to read not only the books that Carrie wrote, but I've actually found it more interesting to hear what other people would say and how they would describe Carrie Cat, and then bring little things into the rehearsal room. And now on stage, as Pippa said earlier, now that we have all the elements with the petticoats and the corsets and everything, all of that's kind of locking in now. But for me, the best kind of acting, and there are many different methodologies and thoughts on this, is bringing one's own self and matching that with all of the research and what's actually in the script and combining it. Some people are a vessel and they're like, I become something else, and the person drops in. And if you can do that, that's dope. That feels like a magic trick to me. I can only gather as much information as possible and then information from my own life story and meld the two. And that part of the craft is still very much in process for me. Mm.
Yeah. I have a saying that I use, which is tools, not rules, which I've stole from like a teacher. I'm pretty sure, like an acting teacher. But I just think that you're right, Jen. There's so much history. There's so many facts. There's so many photographs from the time and stories. And you could really go down so many different paths in order to, you know, find this person and this character. I read an Inez biography. Was very informative. It opened my eyes to a whole different side of her that I didn't know about, based on, you know, a Wikipedia page. And so, you know, that stuff is really useful. And also at the end of the day, we're here to be present in the moment of the story and tell a very specific story and play a very specific role within that story. Not to let go of all the other elements, but to let it influence what we're ultimately trying to do and what we're ultimately trying to communicate to an audience. And so, you know, I just think that, especially in live performance, there are things that I'll learn in Inez's biography that maybe aren't useful to me now, but down the road when we've gotten, you know, 50 performances under our belt, I'll think, oh gosh, like that moment isn't fresh for me anymore. Maybe I'm going to go back to her biography and just read a little bit of, you know, and I'll find something that I'll sort of bring to that performance. To sort of spark something new, something interesting for myself, just as an actor in something, so that my mind is sharp and, you know, I'm not sitting back on my heels.
Yeah.
I'll have more with Jen and Philippa right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And now, here's more with Jen Colella and Philippa Sue. This is the first time back on stage post-lockdown for both of you, is that right?
I shot the Come From Away film.
I guess I meant in front of a live audience, that's right.
Yes, other than concerts, a couple of concerts here and there, indeed. Yes, it is.
And and did the experience of lockdown and, you know, all our uncertainty about theater at the time, did that make you approach the work differently now as you're coming to it?
I just had a deeper appreciation for, you know, the fact that I get to be a storyteller and call that my job. You know, I'll never take it for granted ever again. I don't think I did before, but I think I just have a deeper level of love for not only the process in making something, the conflicts that you might have when you're trying to find a moment, but that beautiful relationship to an audience, to all be in a room together and have this shared experience is so, so special. And you really can't, I mean, these days there are very few places where you can go and sit and not have your phone on for 2.5 hours and all mutually agree that that's what you're going to do. You know, I don't think it really happens in movie theaters. You know, I'm not sure how many places you can do that. So it feels really special. And I just feel like I hold that with me, you know, every time I get to step on stage, like, God, how lucky are we?
Yeah. What about for you, Jen?
I love that answer so much. I'm still kind of bathing in it. That was really, really sweet, Pips. I think that I am trying to be more mindful about my self-care regimen, about rest and about slowing down my pace a little bit so that I have the energy to do what I need to do on stage. I'm really trying to honor the whole, we were moving too fast and saying yes to too many things. So I'm just focusing on this. I'm just focusing on taking care of myself. And it feels good to try to slow down. I'm not completely successful at all times, but I'm trying to slow down so that I can bring as much care to myself so that I can bring my full self to the stage.
Yeah. You mentioned the Come From Away filmed performance that is now on Apple TV Plus. And Philippa, you filmed Hamilton a while ago, but it came out during the pandemic. And I wonder, it seems like theater's relationship to the possibilities of digital and streaming and filming is shifting. And that might be something that happens more often going forward. Is that a process you enjoy? And what's it like for you to be in a show that is sort of pitched differently in a way, or is it pitched differently? What do you learn from that process?
Well, Leslie would always say, you know, when we were doing some press for the Hamilton film, he would be like, this is the best rehearsed film you've ever seen.
Totally.
It's true. I mean, you know, how many performances did you do, Jen?
1,200.
See? Now that is the most rehearsed film that you will ever see, because, you know, I did Hamilton on Broadway for a year and then with some change, you know, like 6 months of the public. And it felt so freeing to be able to know your show and get to play within it. And, you know, all the technical elements and the cameras, you know, coming in a little bit closer, like that was just an opportunity to find something new. After having done the show a lot, many, many times, to be able to actually go back and, you know, dig deeper or go a little bit, you know, tighter and be a little bit more subdued in certain moments, just to play. And I think it's just fun and refreshing as an artist to get to do something like that. And it's just so rare. I mean, you know, there's only a couple of shows that have done it up to this point. And it's, you know, it's just, it's beautiful. And then there's a thing at the end of it. There's a product, there's something that you can watch to, you know, at least for us to like look back and say, oh my gosh, remember that? Like that, I never saw that moment on stage. I'm so glad that it was caught on camera because I was backstage, you know, drinking water and drinking some tea. So it's exciting to see the work of the other people you're working with and really just, you know, get to celebrate it.
Yeah,
I agree. That was the most thrilling part for me of coming back to Come From Away, making friends with the camera, you know, that were, it's like a little alien, another scene partner in my face. I was like, I have to make friends with you and pretend like you're not here, right on. and yes, and find new things. Trust that if I raised an eyebrow, I didn't have to worry about the balcony seeing that, that I could have more internalized thoughts and emotions and actions within the character. That was super fun. And then yes, Pippa seeing it, having this thing after that we can see, we're on stage pretty much the whole time for Come From Away, but we're usually seated behind whatever scene is going on. So I'd been listening to my colleagues say these things for the past 5 years. I had never seen their faces. I was so moved by what they were doing and how good they are in the show that was also an added bonus to the whole experience.
Yeah. What for each of you do you consider the particularly sort of formative musicals for you growing up, or plays that kind of inspired you to, you know, develop a passion for theater and do it, choose to pursue it?
You want me to go, Pippa?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Barbra Streisand was the first voice that I heard with consistency in my house. And I can remember being very, very small, held by my mom. She was dancing and singing along with Barbra. And I connected in that moment joy to the vibration of my mother's voice matching with Barbra Streisand's voice. Something in me in that moment was like, wow, there is joy in Barbra. So Barbra was definitely a gateway into following something that opened up my heart. And I lived in South Carolina. I was born in Charleston and grew up in a small town named Somerville, just outside of Charleston. There wasn't a lot of theater, so I didn't get to see a huge production until high school. I went to go see Phantom of the Opera. And that for me, seeing how big the set was, the costumes, the grandeur of it all matched that tiny vibration of like what Barbra had kindled into a full on passion.
Yeah. Babs, can't go wrong with Babs.
You know what I mean?
Just the best. I think my first exposure to musical storytelling was probably the Mary Martin Peter Pan.
Oh yeah.
And it was like shot live. I'm pretty sure that was live. And then also Mary Poppins, Julie Andrews, you know, a voice for the ages. And ultimately, I think with both, it really spurred this part of my imagination that could come out and be for other people. You know, I was a kid that was like always sitting in my room and, you know, all my toys and objects were like people and characters, and you know, they all had names and stories, and eventually that play, you know, turned into playing those games with my friends. But then eventually, after seeing something like Mary Poppins, after seeing Mary Martin's Peter Pan, you know, it was like, oh, but this can also be shared for other people because I'm enjoying this. So maybe there's a part of me that also wants to create things like this so other people can watch it. And you know, I got into dance, I got into some improv classes, some singing lessons, and that's just where I felt the most joyful. And so I just kept, you know, following that. Mm-hmm. You know, here I am.
And what do you consider sort of your most formative moments as an artist?
The hard moments. Mm-hmm. I feel like whenever I've had any sort of epiphany or breakthrough in what I'm doing, it usually comes after a moment where I feel like I'm in the dark. And so, you know, I went to drama school and I learned there, you know, how to deal with failures, how to deal with feeling like you're not quite getting there, or you're doubtful, and really taking it as a sign that there's something to be learned there. There's an opportunity there to dig deeper, to not shy away from it, and embrace it.
I did stand up in Los Angeles after my graduate school stint, and I learned a lot because I could fail on stage, and I did miserably, and I had no one to blame. It was my joke, it was my delivery, it was my timing. And I realized that I could fail miserably on stage and then get them back in the next breath. And the world kept right on spinning. And so I really try to remember that when I am feeling insecure, when something does go wrong, to let it go, to trust that I can get them back, then I can get me back and keep moving forward. Stand up really, really helped me in that regard.
Yeah. So you're both in Suffs for the run, however long it runs. And what's on your plate coming up after that? Do you know?
I shot a TV show last summer for Apple TV called The Shining Girls, and that's actually coming out at the end of April. Yep. So I'm really excited for that. And I wrote a children's book. So hopefully, you know, that's a little more further off into the distant future, but I'm really excited for that.
Can you tell us about it? What age range, what it's about?
It's definitely, I would say, closer to like a 3 to 8 age range. It's for younger kids, you know, definitely like a hardcover picture book. But I wrote it with my sister-in-law, Maris Pasquale Doran. And it was, you know, one of those things that we always talked about. And then the pandemic happened and life happened. And, you know, we were both like, let's do it. Let's not wait. Let's just do it. And it's the first time I've ever written anything. And it's really, essentially, its focus is around the story of this little girl who's basically my avatar. Her name's Piper, and she loves music and she loves to sing. And so it sort of follows her journey in you know, understanding her love for singing and her stage fright and dealing with that. And it's very sweet.
Did you work with an artist on that? Did you work with an artist on that as well? Was your
like
sister-in-law the artist?
Yes.
We're working with an illustrator. Yes. Her name's Chin Leng, and she's a Canadian artist. And she's just great and extremely just imaginative and beautiful and vibrant. We love her. So we're really excited.
Do you know when we should look out for that yet?
Not sure. There's nothing official yet, but, okay. But yes, we are working on it, and, we're really excited.
Great.
I'm excited for that. That's awesome. So fun. That's so cool.
Thanks. Yeah.
I do have some things in the pipeline, but I can't speak of them yet. So stay tuned.
Stage,
love that.
Stage or beyond?
It's on stage.
Great. All right. Well, we will look out for that. But first, we will see you both in Suffs. Thank you so much for joining me. It was great to speak with
you. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate you.
Thank you. That was Philippa Sue and Jen Colella, now appearing in Suffs at the Public Theater. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft, or give us a shout out on social media. Find past episodes and subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode. Until then, find me on Twitter at @gcoxvariety. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Suffs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.